Okay, so let's see. So the thing is, last week we left off with a question, okay? That what was the question? Good question. let's see. We left off like this. Let's see if I remember. The thing is, you're right. We said, right? We did this thing of Sarei HaMeshtaleach. Okay, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Okay, so I don't know if you heard the tape or what, but I'll just quickly. Okay, the Sarei HaMeshtaleach, the Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol does vidoy for the entire Am, brings the Sarei HaMeshtaleach, and people get kapara. Okay? And the Rambam says that you get kapara whether it is on Averos Chamuros or Kalos. Okay, chamurus are averus that they carry with an Nes Akares or a chi of Misa, Mrs. Besdin. And kalos are all the other mitzvos, which is pretty significant number of mitzvos. Okay, any mitzvah that's just malchus. Okay, let's say a person breaks yontif, doesn't keep yontif. Okay, so it's a chi of malchus. So that would be considered kalos. Okay, so the Rambam says that the Sarei HaMeshtaleach is mechaper al hakol, with the only difference being that it's mechaper on kalos even if the person does not do tshuva. Okay, person does not do tshuva, doesn't regret that he broke the broke yontif for all the averos that he did, never did tshuva for it, doesn't intend to stop doing it, and he has kapara. Okay, and not only that, if you look in the Gemara, Rebbe holds actually that the Sarei HaMeshtaleach is mechaper al kol, whether you did tshuva or not. Chamuros, kalos, yesh bahen es hakaris, ein bahen es hakaris, doesn't matter. Whether a person does tshuva, does not do tshuva, doesn't matter. Sarei HaMeshtaleach is mechaper al kol. Okay, so we asked a simple question. I mean, how could a person get kapara if the Kohen Gadol is doing the vidui? The Kohen Gadol is bringing kapara, but the person that never did tshuva. So how can you possibly say that he should have a kapara for any aveira he did without tshuva? How's such a thing possible? Right?
The question.
What's that?
That's the question.
The question. The question. And the thing is, if you read a Perek Rishon in the Rambam, and you just, you know what he's talking about, right? So, okay. So the answer that we gave, okay, was in line with the original idea that we had, that in tshuva, really in chet, there's two violations. Okay, there's a philosophic violation, and there's a violation that I'm breaking the system. Okay, so even if for me, for example, I could have a chait that for a particular individual is not a philosophic violation. If there was no such thing as Torah, there'd be no reason for this person to keep this mitzvah. Okay, for him, he doesn't need it. Let's say the person does not have, he's on a very high level, and his instincts are not tied to eating. Okay, he doesn't have a problem eating. In terms of his instinctual energy is all drawn towards Chachma. So he wouldn't necessarily need restrictions of Maichalos Asuras. Okay, he's already attained that perfection. All right? But the halacha is that now that we have Matan Torah after Sinai, he has to keep the entire system, regardless of what is good for him philosophically. What he would do philosophically on his own may be totally different. Okay, but once there's a system, he has to abide by the system. Okay, so therefore, any time a person keeps the mitzvos, there's always two frameworks. You see, there's complying with the system of Tayag, and then there's philosophically what benefit he gains out of it. Okay, all right, now let's see the reverse. Okay, good, right. Now, the thing is like this. The thing is, the question is, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, which aspect of mitzvah is he talking about? Is he talking about when he... Now, tshuva, you demand tshuva for both things. Let's say a person does a philosophic violation, Okay? But he doesn't break the system. Okay? Like the Ramban speaks about a maneuver b'shus Torah. Person keeps every detail, every dictuk of Hilchos Maichalos Asuros. Okay? But he allows himself, within Heter, he allows himself tremendous taiva. So he circumvents the whole purpose of the system. Okay? Philosophically, it's not benefiting him. Philosophically, he's totally involved in taiva of Maichalos Asuros. Okay? But halachically, he didn't break the system. Okay? So the question is, so over there, the halacha is, the Rambam says, Yechai for tshuva nevertheless. If you have a philosophic defect, that's a machayev in tshuva too. Not just for breaking the system. Okay? So you have two machayevim for tshuva. Okay? So if a person has a defect, a philosophic defect, he has to correct it. He has to think into himself and correct it, even if there's no violation of Taryag. Okay? But conversely, if he violates Taryag, even though for him it's not a philosophic defect, again he has to do tshuva. Okay? So in Perek Aleph, the question is, which tshuva is the Rambam talking about? Okay. Now we said the tshuva that the Rambam is discussing in Perek Aleph is the tshuva of breaking the system, not the tshuva of a philosophic defect in the person. Okay. So if you say that way, what the Rambam is saying makes perfect sense. Why? Because when the Rambam says if a person violates the kalos and does not do tshuva, he gets kapara nevertheless because of the sar mishtaleach, he doesn't mean kapara vis-vis himself. He is still on a low level. He's still meruchak from God. He's very far away from God. You see, it doesn't raise him to a higher level, but it means to say, in terms of the violation of the system, it's as if he didn't violate the system. You see, that's what kapara means, that the system is reinstated. So he starts off after Yom Kippur with a clean slate, vis-a-vis the system. Okay? Vis-a-vis himself, he doesn't have a clean slate. He's still on a low level. Mm-hmm. If what he did was he involved himself in philosophic in a low level, he's on the same level. It didn't change his level. You see, so the Rambam doesn't mean when he says that the Kohen Gadol is mechaper on a person, it doesn't mean he raises the person, it changes the level of the person. It just means vis-a-vis he has a responsibility to keep the system. Vis-a-vis that responsibility, his slate is wiped clean.
But I still don't get how that works exactly.
Okay, so good. I'll give you a very example. Okay, you mean, how does it work? Because, what do you mean his slate is wiped clean? I mean, the guy did...
Yeah, well, I mean, just the idea of, like, someone else being mechaper on your behalf, and also, you know, like, just, like, is it because we're looking at it kind of on an individual, like on a collective level, too, that, like, he's being mechaper like a bunch of different people.
Who?
And the Kohen. And, you know, like the whole nation. And so
let me give you an example, okay? We gave this example last week. Let's say, for instance, the person makes a netter, you know, just to pick one out of the hat, not to smoke. Okay, he makes a smoking netter, not to smoke cigarettes. Okay?
Not a very common...
Not a common thing, but, you know, just one that comes to mind, okay? I used to make all those in the dorm all the time. Anyways, so, right? Person wants to, you know, control himself, and he finds it hard because, you know, nowadays not so common, but I would say in, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, everybody smoked cigarettes. So if you were trying to, you know, refrain, it became very difficult because the guy next to you's always got his pack in his pocket. So the thing is, so people would make nadarm. Okay, so the thing is, let's say a person makes a netter, and for whatever reason he forgets that he made the netter, or the taiva overcomes him, and he does it intentionally. Okay, but yeah. Whatever the case may be, the person breaks his netter. Okay, so he's over the lav. Okay, but the halacha is the person should still be mater his netter, even though he already broke the netter. Okay, even though he already got the aveira of breaking the netter, he should be matir the netter. Okay, why should be matir neder? Because the halacha is when a person's matir neder and the bezdin absolves you, it's really an annulment of the neder. They're oker the neder meikara. Okay, so when the bezdin is matir the neder, what they're doing is they're saying that the neder that you made, meitchilaso, from the beginning, was a crazy neder. It was a neder that had no validity to begin with. Okay, so they're not being matir the neder, they're not removing the neder from here on, going forward. They're removing
neder. It had no validity because of your husband to do like...
Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, whatever the Hilchos Nedarim is, but the way Taras Nedarim is constructed is that the Bezdin has the ability to paskin that that was never a neder to begin with.
Oh, well.
You see? Yeah. And once they paskin that, then the neder never existed from day one. So it turns out that halachically, you never violated the neder. You never broke the system of Hilchos Nedarim. So that's why even if a person breaks his neder, he should still go back and be matir it because the hatara works retroactively. So it turns out retroactively he never did a chait. You see? Now, and that person should do. Why? Because the person has a responsibility to keep the system. And if he goes through this process, it turns out he kept the system. You see? But would you say that if a person does that, would you say that raises him back to a level, the level that he wants to start with before he broke the neder?
No.
Personally, he still has a violation. In terms of his philosophic level, he still has to do tshuva. You see? But in terms of breaking the system, he doesn't have to do tshuva for that because he never broke the system.
So this is just a practical thing you're saying?
What's that?
Maybe it's a practical thing. If you get kapara according to this first parak kapara, it just means vis-a-vis the system, you don't have the chait anymore.
That's right.
Practical thing.
That's right. It's as if you never broke the system.
So what's the difference between kalos and chamuros? I mean, isn't it just as bad to break any mitzvah?
I mean, that's the gemara. That's the Rambam. The machlokas in the gemara is whether it's all mitzvahs, kalos, chamuros. Okay. But I'm just saying, but what we're interested in is the idea of it is,
right.
You see, that it is just, it wipes your slate clean in terms of the system.
Right.
Okay.
So that we're like kind of uncertain in terms of the ramifications of that, because that's kind of like bidei shamayim, right? Like in terms of like the, like that's like the punishment you're going to get for violating the system.
Right.
Yeah, that's a,
right. I mean, the punishment,
so that,
you know.
So that's there, but then you, but the other thing you could see, like the consequences of, you know, being not in line philosophically.
That's right. That's right. One area is in terms of philosophically, your philosophical perfection, and the other area is in terms of justice that you have a chiyuv to keep this system, regardless of your,
right,
of your personal level. You have a chiyuv to keep the system.
Right, but I'm saying, but the kohen, like be this doing this. Through this process, like he can have an effect on that outcome, like bidei shamayim, so to speak.
Well, we don't even have to go into bidei shamayim. Part of the system is, you see, just like part of the system is when a bezdin says that the neder is void, the system tells you it's void, it never existed. Yeah. Same thing. The system says that part of the system is that when the kohen gadol brings this carbon and does the vidoy, it wipes your chait out. Just like the system instituted that these are mitzvahs and you have to comply with them, the system also instituted that on Yom Kippur, we wipe these violations out. It's part of the system.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounded weird to me at first because it's kind of like, you know, like Ohavdil, like to, like, you know.
Yeah,
like
confession.
Yeah, right.
It definitely sounds weird. You're right.
Yeah.
It definitely, when you look at it on the surface, it just sounds like hocus pocus. Like, what do you mean?
Right.
What kind of a thing is this? Kapara?
Right.
You see? But in this framework, you can see it makes perfect sense. Okay, because it's a halachic mechanism. That's all it is. In terms of your perfection, it's not helping you there. Not going to raise you to any kind of level on that score. Yeah.
What does the system, I mean, what function does the system have? What is the system if not something which perfects you?
It is an entity on its own.
So it exists independent of you.
Sure.
And So even though it's not exactly relevant per se to you, it's still
it's a legal system.
It may not be relevant to
it has
you.
Its own
that's right, exactly.
Structure which needs to be for some it needs to be like reset every year, like
it's a system. It's a system. The arm. There's an entity
right,
of an arm.
Right,
you see, you're not a yachid. I mean, you're a yachid, but you're also part of an arm.
So is that what it is?
A system is for the arm. It's for people in general. You see, and the purpose is to benefit each person. But you can't tell me that if I have a system, that in every situation it's going to be beneficial for every single person.
Right.
Okay, have a system like that.
Right, like there's certain laws that people don't.
You
know,
need law. You need law in general. Most
yeah.
people may need this, but in certain situations you can have a yachid that in this situation the laws
don't
doesn't function. The laws there's no purpose. But you can't have a law otherwise. If you can tell me I could only have law when it benefits me, forget it. That's the end of your legal system. Right? It's like you have the case Verbicheta always brings that. Person, you come to a light, red light in the middle of nowhere at 3 in the morning. Is there a purpose for that red light? No, it's not a car within 10 mile radius, right? But do you have to have a red light there? Yes. You have to stop at the red light? Yes. It might be 3 in the morning. In that particular case, the light may not fulfill its purpose, you see? But if you don't obey the light at 3 in the morning, you have no system. Then every person comes along and says, well, not 3 in the morning, it's 1 in the morning, but I don't see any cars. It's 10 at night. I don't look like too many cars here. You don't have a system. So the system has to have, there has to be a universal system. Once you institute a system to benefit people, it has to function as a system. It can't just function haphazardly. So that means that it has its own rules.
Including kapara.
Including kapara? That's right. Including kapara. The part of the system is that God's chachma dictates that having a kapara once a year is the greatest thing for the system in terms of how people relate to it. You see, if you wouldn't have a reset once a year, you see, that would be disastrous in terms of how people follow the system. You see, why and how, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you must say that the fact is that there's a reset in the system that facilitates the existence of the system and the way people can function within that legal system. And if you wouldn't have that, people would not, the system would break down in some way.
And
yeah.
But I mean, does the system still like? I mean, kind of like what we were saying before. Does the system still relate to us in terms of like? We talk about like what the din's gonna be in the next year. You know what I mean? Like what who's gonna live? Who's gonna die? That sort of thing. Is that part of that system, or is that part of like an individual philosophical framework like we were talking about before?
I don't know.
Sounds like a different thing. Like God judges people. It's not, strictly speaking, part of the legal system of the Torah.
Right.
Well, then what's its basis? What's the basis of the judgment?
Philosophy.
Right, but what's the philosophy?
Where does it stem from?
Yeah. You can be completely, we're just saying you can be completely nivel b'shus Torah. The philosophy doesn't necessarily have to directly correlate.
Right, I know, but so like the Torah will give us specific laws, but the underlining concepts and underlining everything within it is still expressed by the Torah, so it's clearly like a
You know, are you asking if you say that, according to the Rambam, if you say that everybody gets kapara, so what are they being judged for?
Yeah.
To, Oh, okay, yeah, no, that's like who's ever said, right? That it's a philosophic. That's for the philosophic. You're being judged because of your philosophic level, your perfection and imperfection. Not, you're not being judged vis-a-vis breaking the system, because that's gone. You're being judged for your own level of existence. It would be like the case of the netter. A person broke a netter, you see, and he went back to Bezin and he removed the netter. Okay? So it turns out he didn't break the system. But he may still be chayiv and onesh. Because
right.
The fact that he broke his netter, even if there was no system, let's say before Sinai, a person makes an oath to a Kadosh Baruch Hu of XYZ, and he breaks it. It doesn't sound like a good thing to me.
Right.
Right? So that person, it's a personal violation. So there's the personal violation is there regardless. Okay, so that on Yom Kippur is for the personal violation, the philosophic level of the person. But you're right, insofar as breaking the system, it can't be a judgment because the Ram just said that nobody broke the system now.
If you break the technical system during the year, would that have practical ramifications? I mean, obviously there's no way to calculate it, but are we saying that the two are connected?
Which two?
The two systems. Philosophic goal system and technical, you know what I mean? Losase in the Torah. Like if you violate a losase during the year, will that have practical ramifications on you?
In terms of your din, you mean? I don't know.
Well, what were you saying before in terms of your relationship with the system? That would be a flaw in your actual yourself. In other words, because you relate to the system in the wrong way, because you're not following the halacha, even if it doesn't apply to you in terms of your personal perfection, it does apply to you in terms of your personal perfection with regard to your relationship with the system. Does that make sense? Is that clear?
But I want to know.
Right, and as you're saying,
as you're saying,
breaking the system is also, it's from a different area, but it's also a philosophic violation. Because it means a person doesn't value justice. He made a commitment to keep the system, and he doesn't keep the commitment. That's a personal violation too. That's true.
But what I want to know is, does a breach in the system, technical violation of the system, have ramifications the same way you could say that if you punch a wall, you hurt your hand? If you break the system of Torah, whatever, you can't calculate it.
Well, that's what he's saying. In other words, a person that breaks the system, it means he doesn't keep justice. Justice dictates he has to keep the system. Now, if a person doesn't keep justice, that's going to harm him. That means in his life, he does not value his word. He doesn't value his commitments. He's definitely going to be harmed. He's definitely going to come to harm in his life because of that. That's a false attitude. It's
right.
Based on a kind of egotistic thing where I don't give up for anybody else. You're not going to get too far. So definitely it has ramifications.
You could especially see it from like the mitzvahs that are like perfections themselves. Like if you don't say Shema, it's like tantamount to not accepting God. That's definitely an imperfection.
Definitely imperfection, right. Correct.
Not being misbal, that's in reality to tefillah.
No, but we're saying in terms of a case where it would
right.
hurt you, in terms of imperfection of the mitzvah itself, like you don't need that mitzvah per se. Oh, but you do need it in terms of the system. Like,
right.
You don't need it.
Right.
All
right,
I
see. Right. Yeah, but definitely, if a person doesn't keep the system, then that's a personal violation, too. That's certainly a personal violation. Otherwise, why should you keep the system?
Right.
Right. So, no, for sure. The only thing is, if once Yom Kippur comes, then he kept the system. You see, then in terms of justice, he did what he needed to do.
Right.
That's it.
It's interesting because like there's no other way to get around that type of violation. Like if let's say a person has like a very strong taiva, you can argue that on a philosophic level it's better for him to give in a certain situation, you know.
That's right.
But there's no way to get around the fact that like you broke the system.
That's right.
Like
no way to get around. That's right. That's right.
Like, you need it so badly, but you're
stuck. Doesn't matter. You're stuck.
How do we have a... How's part of the system different categories of Onish then? Because shouldn't it be totally subjective? If, like, what if me deciding to mix Balsam Vakhalov is, like, something which I consider to be, like, a worse, you know what I mean, you know, something which is, like, like, I'm not aware of the fact that, you know, eating, like, you know, like, Nivela, like, something, like a bug or something, is actually a bigger prohibition than Basar Bakhal.
Right, okay.
On a technical aspect.
Right.
Then could we say potentially that violating that Durabanan might have a greater impact on me on a philosophical level than the Losa Semenatara?
Definitely. 100%. 100%. Right. Violating a Durabanan could be worse philosophically for a person than violating some Daraisa in Issacharis. Depends on the person.
But
the Onshim are in terms of the system.
Right.
See, the Onshim is one person's Chayiv Misa
right.
for something. It doesn't mean it's a worse violation in terms of him.
It just means that the
in terms of the system,
onish,
you can't have a guy who's going to break Shabbos.
That's a very
you
common,
can't have a system.
That's a very common misconception.
That's a common misconception. That's right. They feel that if the Onish is worse,
right.
it means, oh, this is a worse Aveira.
But
mm-hmm.
I guess you have to analyze the Onshim. That's a separate
onshim,
thing.
Onshim is not in terms of the personal. Onshim
right.
is in terms of the system.
Right.
You see, it does not reflect necessarily the severity. It reflects the severity of the violation vis-a-vis the system, not vis-a-vis the person. Because you could have, a person could do, be over in a Vera that doesn't have any Onshim at all. Person
right.
denies God. What's the Onshim? I don't think it's an Onshim. Unless
right.
he carries something out. Right, he could be a kofer be'ikar. There's no onish. Right?
Well, he wouldn't,
and that's,
look,
and
he wouldn't call the Olam Haba.
What's that?
He wouldn't have a chaylik in
Olam. Yeah, but I'm saying in Olam Haza, right? There's no onish. And yet a person does eat pas b'chal, obviously he gets malchus.
Oh.
Well, that's not worse than this. You see, the system of onshim is halacha in the system. It's not halacha in the person. See, that's dine shemayim. But dine adam... is vis-a-vis the system. That's a very good point. That's a common misconception. And people, if you correct that misconception, it's a big, right? That's a big thing. Interesting thing.
Can I ask a related question?
Yeah.
How could it be that certain mitzvos, which really are like some of the most important mitzvos, they don't have really big onshim? It's just like...
No.
It's like you're just about to want to say, okay.
The worst, no onsh.
What are we talking about? What's an example?
Yeah, what is an example? Let's say if you're
Shema.
Gonna, what, Shema?
There's no onsh for Shema, not saying
for
Shema.
For not saying Shema. I mean, is there an onsh, let's say, you know, raising God's name, like Mechikas Hashem, is there an onsh for that? Chilul Hashem, let's say, guys, Mechal Hashem Shemayim. Is there an onus for that? I don't think there's an onus for that. Guys, Mechal Hashem Shemayim Barab. Is there an onus? There's no onus.
It's just Christ,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. What I'm saying, there's no onus in terms of Malkus, Misa. Nothing. So.
It's just a terrible thing to do.
It's just a terrible thing to do. You see? But in terms of the system, so if it's the worst possible violation, so why you got Misa? You see? Because that's in terms of the system.
He's loka for Ma'abedes Hashem.
Right. If Ma'abedes Hashem, he gets Malkus. I mean, but you can imagine there are Averis that are not as bad that the person will get Misa. Right? So that's a different system. See, so that's, and as a result, you were, why is it that the Onshim don't reflect? Why is it that the Onshim don't reflect the philosophic?
Well, maybe...
It's a good question. Why is it the Onshim only reflect the system, but not the philosophic?
So real quick, that when you say that has to do with the system, the Onshim have to do with the system, does that mean, like, in terms of being, like, an Am that follows one system, like, those particulars that that have like the consequence riling them as Misa or, you know, what have you.
Right.
That without those, then like it would uproot the
That's
whole
right. That's right.
System.
That's right.
Those are like
fundamental.
Like collectively.
That's right, exactly.
But if you look at them like separately, then they're, you know, philosophic consequences. Might not.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a good summary.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. So what would you say, why is it that the Onshin really don't reflect the philosophic idea of the mitzvah, but just the system?
Yeah, how do they reflect the system, though?
Because we're saying, in other words, something that's more severe in terms of breaking the system, right, would bring a greater onus.
Oh, fine.
See, like, let's say a person breaks Shabbos, so that, in terms of the system, that would be a greater breakdown of the system than another Avera that wouldn't carry with it Misa. You see, or let's say murder, right, Ritzicha. So that is a great breakdown of the system. If you have that, you have a system.
Mm-hmm.
See, so therefore the person's chai misa. But there could be other averas that are much worse than ritzicha. You see, philosophically, that they won't even get an onish.
Kol shem shemayim.
Right.
That's the worst. That's
worse. And you don't get Mises Bezdin for that, and yet you get Mises Bezdin for ritzicha. So it doesn't conform to the philosophic level, but it does conform to the system in terms of the social, the existence of the system. Apparently, if you have people being mechal shem shemayim, it's not as great a threat to the system as if you have rampant murder. I mean, you could see on a
rampant
right,
fellow service, I guess.
Right. Apparently, that is a basis. You can't have a society with murder. Okay,
yeah.
Chil Hashem Shemayim, we deal with differently. Okay, so your question is, why is it that way, that the Onshim are meted out based on the existence of the system, promoting the existence of the system, and not promoting the philosophical level of the person?
Yeah.
Right, but the answer is like we're saying, because the philosophic level of the person is a variable. You see, that's a variable. You can't put that into a box. It depends. It depends on his situation. Sometimes a small violation for a person in that situation could be the worst possible thing he could do. Whereas something that maybe is philosophically generally a very bad thing, for him, it was excusable. It wasn't such a bad thing. He didn't do it in the same way. You can't, in terms of the philosophic, you can't put philosophic into a box. You see, it depends on it's dependent on the particulars, on the particular person, his particular situation. You see, so you can't take the philosophic and line it up with onshim. You see, more severe and less severe, the same way you could in terms of the system. Okay, so if you would do that. If you would place onshin dependent on the philosophic severity of the law, then it would turn out it wouldn't achieve anything. You see, it would not achieve anything, because the person has to philosophically, a person has to deal with himself based on the particulars, based on where he's at and what is needed for his level. You see, but in terms of the system, that we could. Because we know society must maintain a certain hierarchy. Okay? But philosophically, it's a variable. For one thing for you could be the worst thing, and for me, actually, it would be a good thing to do. Okay? So you can't, there's no way to do it. There's no way to dictate, to legislate the philosophic system. That depends on each yachid. And he has to know himself and do tshuva accordingly. All right? Okay. So that was the thing. Right? And if you look through the room, you see, I mean, it's an unbelievable thing, the way it just, once you have this idea, it's, everything falls right into place. Okay? Okay. Okay, so let's see. So what was the left? So we had at that point. So we had a question. We had one last thing to explain to the Rambam. Okay, because the Rambam says, right, that tshuva is mechaper, Yom Kippurim is mechaper, right? And then the Rambam says it depends on the avera, because certain averas you need yisurim. You have to suffer. Not good enough, you did tshuva. Not good enough, you had the sorry hamashdalech, but you have to suffer. Okay? Yep.
Some of the stuff, I'm not sure if you need to take this up, but I thought he didn't hold by the Yisrim Shalaba, the Rambam. This is he's not Yisrim Shalaba?
No.
What's the difference between Yisrim?
We'll do that.
So you don't have to take it up,
but
we don't have to take it up now.
What's that? Well, first I'd like to just see what the idea of Yisurim here is, and then we can go into Yisurim Shalava. Okay, but that actually is a totally different, Yisurim Shalava is a totally different, a totally different idea than the Yisurim over here. Okay? But the Rambam, right, so the question is, what is the idea of Yisurim? And if you take a look at the Rambam, in Halacha Dalet, he says like this, Afal pisha tshuva mechaperos ala kol ve'atzma sheyem kippur mechaper. Yesh avero sheyem miskaperin l'shaitan v'yesh avero sheyem miskaperin ela la'achar zman. Okay, so then he gives the example. He said, Avar adam ha'mitzvah zase sheyem bakares v'asa tshuva eino zos misham al shemachin lo. Okay, so if a person violates an asay, he gets kapara right away as soon as he does tshuva. Okay. Then he goes, Avraham mitzvah zlosa se, she'ein bakaris, v'lumis es bezdin, v'asa tshuva, so tshuva tol of yom kippur mechaper. So if it's a losa se that doesn't have kares, so then tshuva and yom kippur is a mechaper. Okay. Then the Rambam says like this. He says, Avar al krisos umisos bezdin. If the person does an aveira that carries with a krisor, kares, or misas bezdin, so then the halacha is tshuva v'yom kippurim tolin, v'yisurin habon alav gomer lo hakapar. And yisurin, suffering that the person endures, that completes the kapara. Okay. So the question is, what is the value of suffering? I mean, normally we don't think of suffering as a positive, right? A enhancing character building experience. I mean, it's suffering, right? I mean, what's the value? How does that fit in to the scheme of kapara? That also sounds like just like the confession sounded like, right? Like is something from other religions. This also sounds like something from, you know, these extreme religions. You have to suffer.
Right.
If you suffer, then God forgives you. But you don't suffer.
Well, that's why those like Mexicans they tie themselves to the
right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
they
right.
Do
self.
They like
the
they pin them. They pin
what?
Them. They pin
they
themselves
do that thing
in the
belt.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Terrible.
Torture yourself. You gotta have torture.
To reenact like Jesus.
They crucify like those things they put on their legs. You know, like the like.
Right.
Okay, you're a Dan Brown. You read Dan Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The author.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh really?
That's
like,
what is that?
What
do they do?
They like
whatever,
to they mutilate
like,
themselves, you know. They
mutilate
themselves. you know. So
well, fasting is kind of, but that's a different idea.
And the fasting also is a good point. That is a good point.
But yeah, that's the closest thing.
Right, as a matter of fact, Yom Kippur protects of that. That's exactly right. Because it's Enoi. What's Enoi? Suffer. Right? What is Enoi? You gotta suffer. Well, apparently there is some kind of value in suffering.
Are these just certain like suffering that we should inflict upon ourselves, or that they just happen? I'm making a joke, but I'm serious. Like, funny, just if that's what it's called.
It's a good question. It's definitely not something you bring on yourself, but the question is why? I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, if you're telling me suffering is a good thing, right, and when you receive Yisurim, that somehow you get kapara, why wait? I mean, hey, person wants the kapara, he hasn't noticed any suffering coming his way, so facilitate the issue a little. Bring it on yourself, right? Well, that's the question that we left with. What does suffering do?
Good question.
Right? Fair question. I mean,
would you say the same thing as fasting, or is it a different idea?
I mean, it's very, it sounds very similar. I mean,
service.
You know, it is Enoi. I mean, it's Enoi.
But there you do have to, mean the, you're the faster. Here
you
it's
are the faster,
brought
you are
upon
the
you.
That's true. That is true. Right. You are initiating it, but in response to the Torah's chiyuv.
That's true.
It's not willful. It is not,
right,
voluntary. It's, you got to do it. Okay, but it does partake of the same concept. It is definitely a good observation. It takes the same concept.
They're not totally on anything else. They're just like themselves without even looking into yourself, without doing tshuva, and like seeing like, oh, here's how Hashem's related to nothing. Just the assuring themselves.
Well, because I mean, that's a good question. Notice the person already did tshuva, right? The Rambam says the person did tshuva. He went through Yom Kippur.
Oh.
Right, so he looked into himself. He corrected his defects. He has Yom Kippur, and somehow or other, the suffering is going to help him. I mean, it's not, if it's causing him to look into himself further, so then it means he didn't do tshuva properly. Right? But assuming the man did a complete tshuva, that means he's 100% he's a shav. And he Yom Kippur. No kapar. Then the man experiences some horrible experience where he's suffering. Okay, now he's clean. Now he has kapara. Yeah.
Question about the tshuva and the yisurin. Actually, mainly about the tshuva. So we're saying this parak is talking about like the practical system that certain averas, certain things happen and cause the slate to be wiped clean.
That's right.
So how could you really tell, though, about the tshuva? I understand a day. The day passes. Okay, now my slate is wiped clean. Tshuva seems like a harder thing to implement practically. It depends like what the guy's thinking, what stage he's on. It's like,
that's true.
Subjective.
That's a subjective thing, yeah. That's true. That is true. I mean, it's not like just an automatic thing that's implemented by the system. It's initiated by himself. You're right.
I think it's hard to point to the spot where I'll be like, oh, he did the tshuva.
Right. It's true. It's different. Yeah.
I think. See, what's bothering me is that we're saying those ones that are chamuros, the chamuros you need tshuva for, right? But we were saying the chamuros. The only reason they're chamur is vis-a-vis the system. You need something to be in line with the social. But tshuva, that kind of kapara, is really in line with the perfection of a personal perfection of a person. Seems like incommensurate.
Now, again, the Yisurin don't necessarily have to have any relationship to the tshuva or the kapara. It could just be the guy just feels pain sometime later in the year. Nothing. He doesn't have to know the correlation at all. And that would still be miskaper.
I mean, on the surface, it would seem.
Right.
It seems so. Because Ram doesn't really qualify what kind of yisurim. He doesn't really
right.
Just as yisurim. Okay, so there's a Gemara in Peches on Beis and Shabbos. Okay, and it's an interesting, very interesting little Gemara here. Okay, and the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Tana Rabban. Okay. Hanelvin ve'enan olvin. Okay. So those that are insulted or degraded and do not respond with insult. Shomen cherpasan ve'enan meshivin. They listen to disgrace, and they don't answer. Okay. He says, "Osin me'ahava usmechin b'yisurin." They do with love, and they're happy with yisurin. In other words, those individuals that are recipients of either social disgrace or any type of yisurin, any type of tragic or harmful or painful type of experience, and they're happy. Okay, the semechem b'yisurin. So the Gemara says, Alehen hakasav omar v'ohavav kitzes hashemesh b'gvuroso. Okay. So, right, so the Gemara is saying that is the level, the highest level of perfection of a person is where he's semech b'yisurin. He's happy. He's happy with events, untoward events. Okay, personally damaging events. He's happy with it. And that's the highest level. Okay. So the question is, what is the idea of a person being happy with Yisurim? He's Sameach B'Yisurim. In other words, if a person gets Yisurim and he's unhappy, he says, "This is horrible, I can't take this." That is not the idea of Yisurim.
Because if he knows maybe that he's on a high enough level to get Yisurim, then he has direct involvement with.
What is he happy about? In other words, the normal reaction is a person gets Yisurim, he's upset. The Gemara's not talking about that. The Gemara's talking about a person gets Yisurim, he's happy. What's he happy about? He's happy he's on a high level. I don't know if that's such a high level. Once the guy's happy about it,
well,
he's happy that he's getting kapara.
Right? The Gemara says he's happy with Yisurim. What does that mean? He's happy. The person's happy with Yisurim. See, why is a person upset with Yisurim? Why does a person get upset when something bad happens?
Very frustrating.
It's frustrating.
Implication of his imperfection.
It's his imperfection, and he's upset because he is upset at reality. In other words, things did not go his way. He's frustrated. Things did not go his way. He expects that reality should conform to his wishes, and reality was not helpful here, right? So a person's upset when something bad happens because he walks around with an assumption that reality should conform to me, to my wishes. You see? Now, the opposite is true. You see, if a person does not have that idea in his mind, that reality conforms to me, but on the contrary, I have to conform with reality, you see, then the person is just as happy with a bad thing as a good thing. Because that's reality. Okay? It doesn't mean when it says it's happy, it doesn't mean that the person wished that this would have happened or that he would have brought it on himself.
Or he wouldn't make it go away if he could.
That's right. Exactly. But he deals with that as part of reality. That's what happened to me. Okay, that must be an expression of reality. You see? And he has a certain attitude towards that thing that is really no different than the attitude of when things go my way. When things go a person's way, he's ecstatic, he's elated, that's it, we made it. You see, that elation is not he's happy with reality. On the contrary, he'd be very upset with reality if it didn't go his way. He's just happy that now reality has shown that he's the center of the universe, that he is the one, you see. But that elation is really a false thing, okay? Really, whatever attitude the person has to a good thing, a bad thing is the same expression of reality. There's really no different. You see, and he deals with that in the exact same way. He does not take it personally. Not a personal affront against him. You see? So Semechem B'Yisurin means that a person is mekabel. When something bad happens to a person, he he's mekabelet, and he has an idea in his mind that this Kabbalah is a good thing, because this shows that I am acceptance. It's an acceptance of reality. You see, there's a certain idea in the mind that this is an acceptance of reality. That's a good thing. You see, and that causes a person a certain type of inner happiness when he is able to accept reality. You see, it gives him a type of inner peace. Okay? But that's only if the person is on the level where he's not, his assumption is not that reality follows him, but on the contrary, there's an object of reality that I must be makabel. Okay? So that's the idea really of Smech and Bisur. Okay? If a person would bring it upon himself, obviously you can see that's a ridiculous thing. You see? It's not the pain. You see? But it's his reaction to the pain that gives him a sense of happiness. That he has makabel that as an expression of God's system. You see? The system of reality. Okay? So really you can see how it is. It's an unbelievable kapara. You can see how it fits in here exactly. Why? Because what was the guy's chait really in Perek Aleph? Right? There's a system of halacha. That's God's system of reality, and he couldn't take it. He says, "I can't do this. This is just horrible. I can't follow this system. This is impossible. How could I exist like this?" Right? So he breaks the system. So what really is the only kapara for that type of violation that he has to experience a yisurin? And then he'll be makabel God's reality. It's the Kabbalah of reality, an acceptance of reality, that is his kapara. You see, that is a reversal of the very violation. You see, so it's not the suffering. It's his reaction to the suffering that's a kapara. You see, and if the person doesn't have that, the kapara, then the system says the kapara is not complete. You see, then you're not, your slate is not wiped clean, because there's no Kabbalah. There has to be a Kabbalah of God's will in order for you to have Kapara. That's what it means. Now, so if it's an Isser Kares or an Isser Misa, the Kapara is toloi on an action of being Mekabel God's will. Now, where is the only case where you could have a Kabbalah of God's will? If it's a negative event. If it's a positive event that happens to you, there's no Kabbalah. Right. What do you mean, Kabbalah God's will? Of course. You see, the only action of Kabbalah Hashem, Kabbalah of the Ratzon of Hashem, is by Yisurin. And that's, Yisurin is the opportunity to be Mekabel.
It's not what Rabbi,
that's the Kabbalah.
It's not what Rabbi Akiva said.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right, that he was very happy.
Right.
That's right. That he was faced with this situation and he was Mekabel.
Right.
He was very happy with that. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand. So let's say he isn't Mekabel at that time.
No Kapara.
But the Rambam doesn't say that, though. He just,
I know.
So what's the deal with that?
What's that?
So why doesn't he say that?
It's a good question.
Why does it say what?
Why doesn't the Rambam say, let's say the guy gets Yisurim and he's not Sameach. He's very sad and he's upset and he says, this stinks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, why doesn't the Rambam say?
I mean,
it's only if he's Mekabel.
I mean, you could say that either way he's going to have to be like Mekabel in some sense. Like, it's happening to him. It's reality. But, like, if he's not Sameach, then he's not going to... He's not really being Mekabel. Hashem's really saying, like... I don't know.
See, the Rambam is giving you... Apparently, the Rambam's giving you the situation under which lends itself to a kapara. Now it's true, if the person totally rejects this, you see, then there's no kapara. But insofar as there is a part of the person that is mekabel, insofar as that part of the person, he has a kapara. Okay, but you're right, the Rambam doesn't, that is a good question. The Rambam does not give that qualification. It's a good point. I mean, it's a good question. It's not. I'm not really, you know, proving that what I'm saying is correct. You see. But that's. I mean, that it's an idea. And why the Rambam doesn't say that? It's a good question. There may be more to it. Okay, but I think this much we could say, that when a person is mekabel, a yesurin, it definitely reverses the violation against the system. You see, what would happen if he's not mekabel? That's a good question. According to us, it would seem it's worthless. But you're right, the Rambam doesn't really outrule the case. All right? That's it. Okay.
It sort of explains why he later says that the Olamein is Kapalok Bagmur Achevo Olamein. Because it's true for any sin.
Mm.
Like, in terms of what we're saying now, there should be no difference between Kalas and Chamoras.
That's interesting. You mean to say, because he says, Avra Krisas Unisas Bezdin Vasa Chuva Chuva Viyama Kaparim Tolin Viyasrena Bonalov Gomer Lo Kapar Ula Olame Miskaper Lo Kapar Gamura Ad Shiavo Alav Yasurin. Wow. Does that mean to say when he says Ula Olam, does that mean to say that in every case, even the other cases? I mean, it is a good question, because why would the Rambam repeat it? What do you mean, Ula Olam? He just got through saying that in this case I need Yisurin. And that's Gomen Lo Es a Kapara. So why does he repeat it? Ula Olam?
Mm.
So I don't understand. So, I mean, you're right. The plain pshat is he means that even with regard to the other cases. But I mean, it does raise the question. So what's the chiluk? He just got finished telling me that there are three different categories, and it's only the last category that requires Yisurin. So he's contradicting himself. So there's only one category. Everything requires Yisurin. I mean, let's think about this. It's a very good question. It would actually make sense. I mean, what the Rambam said, you know, that idea makes sense, because there's always a rejection of the system, of God's reality, when a person breaks the system. So it would seem Yisurin would always be appropriate. Okay. Think about it. Something to think about. All right, very good. I find the most interesting thing is, because when you read it, Yisurin, you just feel like, how is this possible? How is this? What's the justification for this? You know, how can you explain this logically or rationally? It just sounds
right,
so close to a ridiculous idea that, but it's actually a very rational thing. Amazing. Alrighty, so do I press this button here to stop it?
Yeah.